You would turn to Galatians chapter 5, and just to give us some idea what we're going to be discussing in some ways, in Galatians 5:19, everybody there say amen. When you're there, now the works of the flesh are what? Manifest, meaning what? They're very open. If you don't think that you have any, do you have somebody that you really trust, like your wife or a friend in the Lord and everything like that? You can ask them if there's something overt that you're not seeing, because I find that a lot of times some of these things that we're talking about and that we're talking about, we don't think we have a problem with, but everybody else knows it. How many people that have anger issues, they don't think they get angry? I don't know. Well, a lot of them, actually. They don't. They don't realize it. So anyways, they're manifest. Everybody else sees them. Maybe you're blinded to yourself. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. That's quite a word. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I'm glad he put that in there, because I think he was just getting, you know, the Spirit said, okay, you could go on forever with these things, right? And he does. He sums it up in that way. Of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The reason I started off here is because there's certain warnings in the Scripture, and this is one of them, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, when we got this professing Christian that is overwhelmed in these areas, there needs to be a warning. So this is very practical, right? It's a very practical lesson. I'm not saying you... Did you know that when you get saved, you bring you into that salvation? You know, it's not like the old you just leaves and departs or something. It isn't like the fairy godmother comes down and goes poof and the old you is not there anymore. It is not that. That's not what the Bible teaches. You, when you get saved, you come along with it. But you are breathed, the Spirit of God breathed in you, and you became a new creature within you. And that's where this wrestling is. And it is a wrestling, because the old man is not dead. He's alive. And any of you that have been saved for a long time, you know he's still there. He manifests himself every now and then. And hopefully it's just every now and then, right? And so he says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we can go to different warnings. In Romans chapter 2, I wanted to bring the seriousness of this so that we know that it is it's a serious business. And 2:17, he uses a Jews as an example here, but catch it and put it into our context, okay? Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest of the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Everybody there with me? Verse 19. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth of the in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, this is the main verse, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast in the law, through the breaking of the law dishonorest thou God? Question there. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, I know I use that, and he is talking to the Jews, and that is the main context. But may I say, when we go to Titus, that it's going to repeat it in a different context. When you go door knocking, or when you talk to people about the things of the Lord, how many of you have ever been told, well, I knew a Christian once, or I knew a pastor once, or I knew a deacon once, and he did this, that, or another thing? Well, if you haven't, you get out there and knock some more and talk to some more people, right? Because it happens all the time, actually. And the Word of God can be blasphemed. Now, what does the word blaspheme mean? It means to mean of no power, of no value, you know, to diminish and stuff like that. So as a professing Christian, you need to understand that we need to walk the walk and talk the talk. It's important. It's important that people see what you say is right, that you do what is right. I'm not talking about perfection here, because we all know we're not perfect in this world, that we are all growing into Christ's likeness. But let's not make this overall blanket excuse for ourselves either. We are to be transformed into the image of his dear son. And there should be this transformation that is happening. So it's a great warning. In Titus 1:16, it also warns. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate, and reprobate means they're devoid of judgment. And so they profess that they know God, but truly, my friends, if we're going to say we're Christians, that we're members of Beaver Valley Baptist Church, that we know the Lord, then really my exhortation to you is that we need to live that life, and we need to know and to do that which is right. And we're going to get into that. There should be a transformation. How many of you have been saved over a couple years? You should be, you men, you should be able to ask your wife and said, and now you've got to be prepared for the answer of this, right? You should be able to ask your wife, do you see any spiritual growth in me? And if she looks at you and says, no way, then, you know, you might really realize that you have a problem here, you know. But you need to understand that we are to be growing in Christ. We're not to be stagnant in Christ at all, are we? I really know. Does the Bible teach we're supposed to be stagnant, growing in Christ? No, we're supposed to be growing in Christ. And that should be evident. There's an evidence of that. And we need to understand that there's even a way that you can be. And you can munch on Ephesians for about the remainder of your Christian life. It's really, I go back to it all the time, it is still there for us to be edified by. So now if you'll go to Ephesians, in chapter 4, I've mentioned the seriousness. It is a serious topic. We don't want people to walk away or not be drawn to Christ because of our witness, because of the way that we live a life. As a matter of fact, the qualifications of a pastor, elders, bishops, whatever the New Testament calls you, is that he is supposed to have a good report of them which are without. In other words, when you go to a business or someplace like that, they'll say, oh, this is Pastor Klein, right? And they say, yeah, I know him. He didn't pay his bills or something, right? Really? We're supposed to have that. And as a Christian, you need to, when you profess to be saved, we need to have a good report to them. And so the Bible lays it out here. Everybody at Ephesians 4? We've got Bibles. You can borrow them. You need to check me out just to make sure I'm reading this all right. But read verses 17 through 19 with me, please. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. So he's not talking about, you know, having a step, you know. You know, you got to be cool and you have a step, right? He's not talking about that kind of walk. Well, in the Bible, when it says your walk, what is he talking about? Go ahead. Feedback. You're supposed to tell me. The what?
The way you live.
That's right. Your lifestyle, right? That's right. Your walk, the way that you're going through this earth as you walk through with the Lord. And so continue. That walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. This is, again, a little bit of a warning, right? They're walking in their vanity, having their understanding darkened. So does that mean that they're getting enlightened? No, it means that they're degrading, right? It's being darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being past feeling. Isn't that a prophecy? Without of the end times, without natural affection. Past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's the word that means all kinds of, it's a general word of all kinds of evils. To work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, we're working it, but we're going to even want more of it. But then he says in verse 20, what does he say? But ye have not so learned Christ. So we're done with antinomianism. You know what antinomianism? It's a big word that means living like the devil when you say you're of the Lord. That's antinomianism. And so we don't have all this freedom to do everything that the world does and all their ways and all these other things. We don't. We have not so learned Christ because we are called into his holiness. And as he said to himself, as he describes himself, he says, be holy, for I am what? Holy. Absolutely. So we are directed into that holiness, to that sanctification, to grow more like Christ. And I know all the temptations. We were talking about them in Sunday school class today. Believe me, in our day and our age, it is all right in your face, isn't it? I mean, it's right there. We're not much different than Corinth was or any of these other ones that they speak of in the Bible, really. We're not that far off at all. I don't know if we're quite there on the prophecy that their thoughts of their mind were continually evil, but we're getting awful close. So if we go and we start to learn, we haven't learned Christ that way. So if you're with me here, he tells us the formula. He says, if so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him, hearing, taught, let a lesson, as the truth is Jesus. So it doesn't say the truth is in Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, right? Got it? That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So that's one thing we can establish right away. The old man is what? Corrupt. What does corrupt mean? Well, it means dying, putrefying, decaying, you know, all the rest of it. It's not very good words. It says corrupt concerning the deceitful lust. But then it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we're going to get into the rest of the sermon in just a minute. But it does not say, be renewed in your mind and then put off the old man. That is not what it says. Did you notice that? See how that was phrased? You know, this verse here, and then this verse, and this verse. I actually believe that they got that there for a purpose. It says that you have been taught by Christ, and you know of Christ, and all the rest that is said in the first verse. And I believe that in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, that there is a quickening that happens. And all of a sudden, what you used to do... Now, how many of you really used to have a foul tongue, I'll call it, that you swore a lot? Nobody here but me? Man, I'm telling you, what a wicked person I am. I'm the only one amongst all these people that... Okay, I had this... I was in the military. I tell people, you know, you learn all... You know, I don't even want to go there, okay? I can't go there for very long. Anyways, you got this foul mouth... And you know, swearing all the time and everything like that. And I could remember the first time after I got saved and it came out of my mouth at work. And I cursed. I used a derogatory word. And the Spirit of God. This I hadn't didn't know my scripture. Yeah, I have to tell you. But the Spirit of God just squeezed my heart a little bit. Really, I'm serious. It was like somebody grabbed me. I said... And, you know, and I said, whoa, man, okay. But if you've been taught by the Lord, if you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is there now convincing and convicting. And you know the things of the old man. Don't we know what is our, don't you know what's wrong? I know there's some finer points that maybe you have to learn. But there, we know these things. But he says the first thing that you need to do is what? You put it off, right? You've been taught. By the Jesus' truth, he contains the truth, then you put off the old man. That means you stop doing it. You have to stop doing it. If you're going to be, if you're going to change, if you're going to have victory over this, the first thing you need to do is stop doing what you know is wrong. You got to stop it. And you said, well, I can't. Listen, folks, what you're saying when you say that is that you don't have a choice in the matter. They have institutions for people that don't know how to make right choices. Okay, they put them in they put them in padded cells and everything like that. Really, you have a choice. You can make a choice in this matter. And the first thing that you need to do is you need to put it off. You need to stop that behavior. You don't do it. You don't do it. And then it says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you know that renewed is the renewal is there's a power acting upon you. Going to help you. It's going to help you. You're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then with the renewal of the spirit of mind, that's what's right. See, because how many of you, when you really, after you first got saved, you might have known and you got convicted of what was wrong because you were convinced of sin to be saved, right? You know, you were then, weren't you? You were convinced that you were a sinner. And many times the Lord brings specific sins to your mind that you're under conviction of. At least he did with me. And then you didn't, but I didn't know what to do right. And when you get renewed in the spirit of mind, you get to learn what is the right way of behavior. And then you're, that right way of behavior, you're supposed to put it on. So you put off, you stop what is going on. There, read it with me again, right? Really, that you have not so learned Christ, right? If so be you've heard him, and that means there's an understanding that he's taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, you put it off, which is corrupt. You don't want to go that way. Your anger, your whole way of thinking, your mind is corrupted, it's darkened. That old man is there. So you knew and you get renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is right. And then you have to put on the right behavior. You have to put it off, get renewed, put it on. And then, if you know anything about your neurology, that the old behavior will go into atrophy. Now, I'm not talking about in 5 minutes here. It will go in. It will be lessened. The neural connections will be lessened when you stop behaving that way. And the new behavior, the neural connections will grow stronger in that new behavior. So this one will be weakened over time, and this neural connection with the right behavior will be strengthened in time. And after a few years of this putting off and putting on, you're going to be acting different. You're going to be acting more like Christ. You're going to be acting more like what is in line of the scripture. It is an exercise that is there. And you need to do that, and we need to do that. And people that struggle with certain things, you haven't put it off yet. Most people haven't put it off. You know what they do with a lot of Christians? I don't know if you've ever done this before in your Christian walk, but you sort of like play with it a little bit. You know that you should be changing in this area, and you have made some changes in this area, and so you go and you do it. Well, many of you know I've told you I was a smoker, right? You know, I smoked. I started smoking when I was 13 years old. I quit when I was 30, and it was very hazardous to my health. I smoked like a chimney, man. I'm telling you, unfiltered cigarettes pumping it in my face all the time. And you know, and because I was a drinker, then you know what goes on with all that, right? It just saturated with tar and nicotine. You know, I tried that. Did you try those ones? You know, oh, well, I'm just going to go, and then I'll go and smoke 10 a day, then 5 a day, then 2 a day, and everything. I'm going to tell you, it didn't work with me. And then the smoking quit when I put them away. I put it away. Put it away. And that's what you need to do. You need to stop. And you say, oh, go cold turkey? I think the Lord can help. I really do. Anyways, others will disagree that whatever works for you, right? But the thing is that you need to understand that the Bible is true. That you put away. And so look at how practical this is. So you're looking, we're going to go very practical here. What does it say? That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the old man corrupt, true holiness. That's our goal. That's what we're after, right? And if you've been in the Lord after 10 years, there should be spiritual growth, and you can have victory. You can have victory in every area of your life. And so it says here, you put off, you're renewed, you put on. What does it say about lying? Wherefore putting away lying? Then what is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to do? Speak the truth. Isn't that what it says? So you don't just quit lying. You got to speak the truth. Now, I put a little side note here. And I don't want to, you know, I got to lighten it up every now and then, because I don't want you to get too sad here. But the thing is that a lot of people, you got to speak the truth to your neighbor, right? And speaking who's my neighbor and everybody's your neighbor, this kind of thing. Your opinion isn't necessarily the truth. It says to speak the truth, and the truth is in Christ Jesus. Okay, it says to speak the truth. And if you follow that word truth, it means what is absolutely right and pure, whether it's doctrinal, whatever is that. So my wife goes and says, hey, how do you like this outfit? And I speak the truth to her. Oh, I hate it. No, that's not the truth. That's an opinion. And you know, a lot of people think that they're saying the truth, but it's just their opinion. And their opinion isn't truth. Now, if I ask her, if she asked me, hey, Tom, honestly, what do you think of this outfit? Then I can give her my opinion, right? That's my opinion, right? Say, don't like, you know, that kind of thing. Anyways, but you need to speak the truth. There's a difference there. Some people think, well, they're going to be brutally honest. Well, we're talking about speaking the truth, not being brutally honest. Okay, so many. Do you understand your perceptions and what you think is this and that and everything like that has been modified by your world, the worldliness and everything like that? But the truth is in Jesus Christ. What would Jesus Christ think of that? In Christ. What would he think of all these things? Anyways, give you an idea there. Speak the truth. So, anybody have a problem with lying? It says all men are what? Speak the truth, everyone, with his neighbor. For we are members one for another. And that's certainly a good exhortation. And it says, be ye angry. Now, I'm not trying to change the authorized version at all. I'm just going to try to help expound on this. But the word angry there is something acted upon you that's really ticked you off. You're angry. Some outside force came and it had an action upon you, and you are heated up, man. And you say, well, they shouldn't have acted. But what does it say? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Let it go. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be so careful. Know that so many times in our anger, actually I think, I could honestly say most of the time, when this wrath and anger comes up, it is because it is something to do with us and our, and we took and taken offense and other different things. You say, well, is there not a righteous type of anger? Yes, there is a righteous type of anger. Jesus Christ was angered when he saw the temple workers in the temple making it just a trade goods store. But most of the time, we're not there. And sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither, so I'm going to take these in line, but I'm going to skip this verse for just a minute, okay? So it was angered. You let it go. You give it up. You give it to the Lord. You speak peaceably to people. You turn a soft answer, turneth away wrath. Whatever it might be, you calm yourself down. And then if he says stealing, if you were a thief, then what are you supposed to do? Quit stealing, right? But there's more to it, isn't there? See, he doesn't just say quit stealing. There's the stealing. Read along with me. What verse am I in here anyways? 28? Okay, thank you. And it says, I'm in the wrong chapter here, man. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, there's the put off, right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may be able to give to them that needeth. Now there's something, because what is the root cause of stealing? It's selfishness and covetousness. And so that's the root cause. That's the hard attitude problem. It manifests itself in stealing. So you're supposed to steal no more, but then you're supposed to get off your backside, earn your own wage with your hands, in other words, labor. But then even it says, because it's acting on the root cause, and then give. And then be a giver rather than a taker. See, that's the putting on of Christ. And so those are things that there. It's great. It's great instruction. It's wonderful. And so it says here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, a corrupt communication is that, I have notes here, but I think I can remember most of them. Corrupt communication is that does not, well, the word corrupt means what? To decay, to diminish, you know, that kind of thing. So corrupt communication is that you're talking and it's not accomplishing anything, and it's demeaning in many ways. Let no corrupt communication. And so that's the person can find nothing right with anything and is always bad-mouthing everybody and everything. let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what's the action? But that which is used to edifying, building. That's what the word edify means, to become and shore up a wall. It means to, it does mean to literally build, but there's this picture that almost if the wall was corrupting, you're going to help hold it up. And you want to do that. And so you don't do that. That which is good for edifying, that it may minister what to the hearers? Grace. See, there's that action. So what's the problem with corrupt communication? The problem is a heart attitude problem. They're bitter, they're envious and everything, and it goes into corrupt. And rather than just edify, you're going to start ministering grace instead of being a critical spirit. You're ministering grace. And grace is unmerited favor. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. So it's there. It speaks of not only the problem, but also some hard attitudes that are there. And so it says in verse 30 is there. So let me go to verse 27 and 30. So here we are. We want to grow in the Lord. And I hope that you want to grow more like Christ in holiness, because we've been taught by him through his word, and that we're putting off. We're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. God is actually changing our thinking and our ways. And we're putting on and we're changing all of this behavior. And 5 years goes by and 10 years, and you're not the same person that you used to be. I hope. And so does the Lord. And so does whoever's close to you. They want to see a renewed person, a renewed man. But then it tells us that in verse 27, that in wrath, that's its context, that you can give place to the devil. Now, you know that the devil is pretty powerful, right? Did you know that? It's Diablos. It could mean his minions, you know. I hate to use that because that word, nah, you know, his followers, right, you know, and that are there. But you're giving place to Diablos. And how many of you want to have the devil real close? Because that's really what it means to give place to. To give place to is, it's a phrase, you know, and it means like, hey, come on over and stand by here. You are saying, come on over, stand here. It isn't that he jumps in, they say, come on over. You're giving place. You're yielding a place to the adversary. You want to do that, really? I don't know if any of you have ever seen real evil up close and personal. You don't want to have him anywhere near you. Not, at least I don't. And then in verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. There's a promise there, isn't there? Did you know that ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption? But that he can be grieved. And grieve not the Spirit of God. So you're indwelt, sealed by the Spirit of God, but you don't give place and you don't grieve the Spirit of God. And can you imagine that if you... anger and these things that have just been in context mention that the Spirit of God is grieved in these kind of actions. And to grieve the Spirit of God is to diminish. You don't diminish his power in his holiness and in his God, that he is God, but his actions through you are grieved. And it means to sadden the Spirit of God that is indwelt in you. That's a quite a powerful thing with me to understand. So we don't want to give place to the devil. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God, that sadden the Spirit of God that's in us. Another portion of Scripture says that we can what? Quench the Spirit of God. And it has a picture of throwing water on a fire. But we need the fire of God within us. We don't need to quench the Spirit or diminish his working in us in any way. So these kind of actions, we need to be putting off and putting on and being, put off, renewed in the spirit of mind, put off. We need to do this. This is a daily exercise. This is something that could be continually happening, because so many things are overt when you first get saved. When you first get saved, because you brought that old man with you, there are some overt things that you need to deal with right away. And your pastor and other people and you and the Holy Spirit and the Bible, you work with those and you change and you give up this and you start this and all these other things that are there. But then you're going to find out that in 20 or 30 years, what you're dealing with mostly, not that you can't fall back into that behavior, but mostly it's inner man, the hatred, the variance, the envyings, the lusts that are there. So it goes on to tell us and verse 31. Everybody there? Let all bitterness. Now, the bitterness here, I'm going to explain each one of these words so that you can understand what we're saying here. But bitterness, in this context, is extreme. It is extreme disdain for different things. It could be people. It can be so many people are bitter towards people in their life that have raised them, parents and other things like that. And it doesn't do you any good at all. You need to love them. And do, what did I mean by that? To do which is good to them. Let all bitterness and wrath, right? Wrath, hatred. But you know, the wrath and anger are two different words here, and they're quite different, actually. Wrath is that person that has the short fuse, that you say something to me and like I go, you know, and I'm all over your case, and then it leaves. Okay? And then you're like, I'm a normal person again, right? You know, that kind of thing. That's wrath, okay? Anger is speaking of the disposition. I don't know if you've ever met people that are angry all the time about everything. And that's really what this word is speaking of here. So wrath is that one that short fuse, blows up, and then they're back, you know, they come back to their normal self or whatever. And the anger word speaks more of this is just your general disposition. You're angry all the time at everything. It won't be good for you anyways. You won't have to worry about, you know, living to be 100 or anything like that. Because if you're angry all the time, believe me, it has a physical effect on your body. Clamor speaks of, okay, how many of you work in a nursery? Okay, have you ever had three children in them and all of them are sick? No? Okay, well, it'll be an experience for you. Because all of them are fussing and crying and all of this. That's the picture of clamor. It actually speaks of crying out. Okay, so all of this, right? Just noise that is not edifying. And many of you with children, you know what clamor is really well. Okay? Let all this go. Let it go. But there's answers here. We're going to get to the answers. Bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking. Evil speaking is blasphemy. Okay? And what? It's speaking in a way that is derogatory, that's saying it's of no value and everything. It isn't just, you can blaspheme more than God. Okay? It is just evil speaking here is blasphemy. A speech injurious to another's reputation. What do you call that? Slander. That's what you call it. It's slanderous. Evil speaking. And then, I really think that, I don't know how you've been taught this, but I'm going to tell you what I believe the underlying words are. Evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And I've actually been taught by different people, with all malice is the intensity that you put all this away. Okay? But that's, I disagree. I'm going to tell you, I disagree with it. And I believe that it is speaking of malice. Because the root word, meaning, the meaning of that word is ill will and a desire to be injurious. Now take that word and try to apply it to intensity of what has just been said. It doesn't quite fit with me, okay? And so anyways, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I believe that it's speaking of malice, ill will towards people. And injurious thought and processes that are going on there. Yeah, it is the desire to cause injury. I'd like to see them trip and break their neck, whatever it might be. But doesn't it mention all of these things? And then, of course, fornication, fornicia. I think most of us know about that. It's sexual activity that is forbidden in the scripture and all forms of it. And so evil speaking, malice. And then what does he say? I went to fornication, but that's in 5:3. But he says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's in verse 32. There's a remedy. That's what you need to be putting on. You stop doing those things. You get renewed in spirit of mind. Put on something. And he just told you what to put on. And then in verse 5, he goes on. In chapter 5, it's not the end of the thought. He says, be ye followers of God, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication that I just mentioned and all uncleanness. And this uncleanness is lustful living in a very physical way. And it can be not only sexual, but also through wantonness and other different things for things. And then covetousness is greedy desire. It's just greedy desire when you covetousness, use of covetousness there. And so it says, covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh what? Saints. See? It's a reinforcement. Listen, you do know that you are a saint. It's just not those saints that are over here. You're a saint. You are called a saint of God, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness. This filthiness is another word for obscenity, visual or verbal. Or foolish talking. Foolish talking. I had to look up a couple of words, but they used the word insipid, and I didn't quite grasp that one. But it generally means idle talk that doesn't amount to anything. It's no good for nothing. It's just... Oh, idle communication. Anyway, sorry about that, guys. I don't care what they did Thursday at 10 o'clock. Anyways, giving of thanks. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And you got to be careful with jesting, because somebody's usually the end of that jest. Be careful of it. And then it says, which are not convenient. They don't edify. Those few things that are mentioned there, they don't build. They just don't accomplish what they need to. But rather, what are you supposed to do? Giving of thanks. And then the warning again. For this know ye, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God of Christ. Grave warning again. So with all these warnings and everything there, we got to take it seriously, but we are growing in Christ. And those things that you need to understand that you're not putting away, that the first thing that you need to do with us, when you become aware that you are doing something wrong, you need to stop doing it. You need to stop it. And when people, you got to listen to people, you got to listen to the Word of God, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit, that you're not showing yourself angry. Most men don't think they're angry. Did you know a lot of men deal with anger issues? Did you know that? But did you know a lot of women do too? You know, there's different manifestations of it. Some is overt, right? You know, overt, you know, that's in your face sort of thing, right? They're angry with you, right? Some take it and they digest it internally. And they're just as angry. I would tell on Tana, but I don't want to get in trouble. Want me to tell on? No, anyway. No, she was one that would go, you know, and she was hating on me. Listen, we were married 10 years. I was not saved. And we had some rough times there. But she used to get very mad at me. I think that I'm glad that I never had a pistol in the house. Because at times, I think she would have shot me. Honestly, I think she might have. And you know what? She probably would have went to, you know, and okay, one more, you know, that's not bothering people. I just wanted to say that sometimes it manifests itself in different ways. So there's a grave warning in Ephesians and other things in 5 verse and 6. So this is our struggle. I got 7 minutes to do this. This is our struggle. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. I'm going to give you a little bit different take, and I've got a point for this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When you're being crucified, are you dead? No. No. You're on the cross. It's a torturous place. Your body and all that you have are screaming out for relief and the relief of the pain or the change or whatever it is. I believe that's how strong the old man is. When you go to change, the old man, that conditioning of a lost world in your mind. Yes, you are crucified with Christ, but you don't die right away. As a matter of fact, that crucifixion is not going to be complete until you meet and you die physically for real. And then the old man is finally dead. We want to put him in the grave every day. Sure we do. But he is still on the cross. And don't think that that old man of yours is not going to fight to keep the ways that he has behaved before. But you now have a new creature within you, a new creation. That quickening of the Spirit. And that is why you need to understand you have an enemy, and he may be on the cross, but he does not die quick. And any of you that have been saved, I've been saved for a little while now. I don't know how many years now, but it's been a little while. And I can tell you, though he be crucified on there, he's still alive. Every now and then he jumps back and bites me a little bit. And it amazes me when I go back to that kind of thing. So you're no different with the struggle. I struggle with the old man, and you're going to struggle. He's on the cross. We need to keep him there. We need to let the pains of death, that he dies slowly. Do you know crucifixion is a slow death? The old man dies slowly as the new man is strengthened. You're putting off the deeds of the old man. You are putting on the deeds in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's not like a one time when you're on the cross, it's destroyed. Okay? And that is destroyed, that henceforth now we should not serve sin. We need to put him up there. We need to put off and put on, because we don't want to serve the old man anymore. But crucifixion is a long, prolonged death. That's not an excuse. I'm trying to encourage you to know that it's common amongst us. Because I was raised not in a Christian environment. My mind was taught different things in the way that I lived that life. And through the years, it had to be changed. And the only way it could be changed was I had to be taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then I had to put off that which I was instructed. And I know that is wrong. And that old man behavior and all of the wrath and covetousness and all the things that were there. And I get renewed. I get quickened in the mind. There is a change that happens there. And I put on the right behavior. And then you strengthen the inner man that Christ Jesus is in you. And your life changes. Are you putting things off? Because that's the beginning of it all. Well, the first thing is you're going to be in Christ, right? You're going to be taught by Him. You're going to be in Christ, because in Christ Jesus is truth. And then you're going to put off the old man and those things. And I believe the Holy Spirit will deal with you. I believe the Holy Spirit is dealing in an area in your life even today. It's not the same area that He's dealing with me, but He's dealing with you in an area because He wants you to put it off. If you're a Christian, He wants you to put it off. And then if you put it off, you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then you'll be able to put on that new behavior, and it'll transform you into the image of His dear Son. Are you putting things off? Are you putting on Christ? Where are you today, my friends? We all struggle, but let's not give up in the battle, okay? As we stand together, please.